Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. You've heard this scripture many, many times. I've given it to you many times, but I want you to hear this and see it today. It says this: think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Okay? One more time. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, this is what I'm going to talk about today, about walking alive. We were meant to be alive, okay? So first of all, you need to understand that we are human beings. That's what we're called, human beings. We are not human doings. Got it? We are human beings, okay? We are created beings. So listen to this, and I know this is very simple, but it also can be very deep if you'll pay attention. We were created to be sons or daughters of the Most High God. Amen? Amen? Yeah. That's what we were created to be, all right? He created us to be that. We didn't have to do anything to be that, okay? He created us that way. So religion tries to get us to do when God just wants us to be. Religion tries to get us to do the things, do, and God just wants us to be his son or his daughter, okay? If we will be what God has created us to be, then we will do what God has called us to do, okay? But the being has to come first before any doing can happen. All right? And again, I know it's simple, and I've said this before, and you guys know this, but we are to be be-do's, not do-bees, right? I know some of us have been do-bees for a long time. And we need to stop that. Be-do. And I'm not talking about minions. Be-doo, be-doo, be-doo. Or be-doos. Okay, so here's the 3 points. Ready? See, that was my opening. Wasn't that short? Like, what kind of message is this going to be? All right, here's my points. Point number one, we were created to be alive. All right, Genesis 1:26 says, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our own image." In other words, what God imagined, we became, okay? This is what he said. Let us make human beings in our own image. What he imagined, we became. So remember that for later, okay? He said, let us make human beings in our own image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals on the earth, and all the small animals that scurry along the ground. So this is what God said in the beginning. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we're there, okay, in the beginning, and said, let us make human beings in our own image, all right? So we were created to be like God. Amen? Yes, it's okay to say that. This is not a trick question. Yes, we were created to be like God, all right? We were created to be created according to what he imagined. We were created to believe him. We were created to believe God. Amen? Okay, you're with me so far. So look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. It says, then the Lord God placed a man in the Garden of Eden and to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat of every tree in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Okay? So God said, you're free to eat, okay, any tree in the garden, but that one. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which I call the tree of death, because it was standing right next to the tree of life. There were two trees in the center of the garden. There was the tree of life, and there was the tree of death, or the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? And so God said, don't eat that one. You'll die. So God created Adam and Eve with the desire that they would believe him. All right? God never intended for Adam and Eve to learn by falling. He never intended that. That was not his desire. That was not his intentions. He never desired for them to learn by failing. He desired for them to learn by faith. Right? He created Adam and Eve. He placed them in the garden. He said, you can freely eat from any tree except for that one. Don't eat from that one. If you eat from that, you'll die. He wanted them to learn by faith. He wanted them to live by faith. Just believe God. Believe him. Amen? God simply wanted them to believe him. That's it. When he said that tree is death, he wanted them to believe him that that tree was death. Okay? When he said don't touch that thing, he wanted them to believe that. Don't eat of it. Don't even eat of it, right? And if God, let me just say this is for later. This is going to come in later. But if God tells you to stay away from something, if he tells you not to eat of something, okay, don't eat from that tree. Well, if he's telling us that, then we shouldn't even go near it. Amen? Don't even go near it. Don't put yourself in a place of temptation. If God, he wants us to believe him so much that when he says don't do something, that we just totally get away from it, right? That's why the word of God says to flee the very appearance of evil. Amen? Flee the very appearance. If you see it, flee from it. Run from it. Why? Because it's a dangerous trap. And if we too often, we toy with it. We play around with it. We think we can handle it. We think we can walk that line. We think we can get close to it. We think, well, you know, this a little bit won't hurt, right? I'm telling you, just one bite from that tree did the job. Just one bite killed them. So God just wants us to believe him. And here's what happened that day. And it happens to us today. The enemy showed up, and he wanted the exact same thing God wanted. Think about it. He wanted Adam and Eve to believe him. So Satan lies to them and convinces them that they're missing out on something. And the moment that they believe Satan over God, they died. Listen. Listen to the lie that Satan told Eve. This is what he said. He said, if you eat the fruit, you will be like God. She was already like God. She was created in his image. So the lie that Satan was telling was so deceitful to her that she didn't even realize, didn't even think about the fact that she was already like God. Why? Because she got up to the tree. She got close to it. She started looking at it. The Bible says that she saw that the fruit was pleasing to the eye. So she got close and she's like, let me go look at this tree that he told me to stay away from. And that's when the enemy approached her and lied to her. So Satan has been doing the same thing ever since. Amen? He says, believe me. And we believe him. He says, believe me, living for yourself is the right way. You deserve it. You've worked hard. You're a good person. Nothing wrong with that. Go on and do it. Yeah, have it your way. Come on, right? Even our commercials and our jingles are all centered around that. Aren't they? Yeah. Right, we're going to go buy a Whopper because we love that. Have it your way. Have it your way. I need another Whopper on my plate today. Trust me, I don't need another Whopper. So the enemy will lie to us. And because we keep going places and going to these around these places that God told us to stay away from, then he starts to say stuff like, you deserve it. You'll never feel more alive. You can do whatever you want. You're a man. You're a woman. That's real freedom. Nobody can tell you what to do. That's real life. Real life is when you make decisions for yourself. He'll tell you that. Can I tell you that you're going to serve somebody? Yes. Young people, can I tell you you're going to serve somebody? Yes. I'm not talking about Bob Dylan's song. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. I'll start singing like him here in a minute. But you are. You say, well, I serve myself. No, you don't. No, you don't. If you don't serve the Lord, you serve the enemy. That's it. That's it. And I'm going to show it to you today, but I want you to see this, what he does. He cozies up to you, and he says, come on, man. Just do it. Just do it. You're going to feel alive. That's real life. Just take this or drink that or smoke this or shoot up that or tell them what you really think about them. Get back at them. They got you. Get them back. This is what he tells Christians, us Christians, you know, that are out there on Facebook. He says, oh, you know, you can't tell them off. But what you can do is you can make that post that backhandedly tells them off. And the moment you do that, the moment you believe the enemy over the truth of God's word, over God's voice, he's got you. It's a trap. It's a trap. And we fall into it all the time. And you might have felt good when you made that post for a moment, but what it did inside is damage you don't even see and don't even understand. And it will eat away at you. Right? You tell that lie and you think it's okay to tell that lie. It's not okay to tell that lie. It's not. You may think you got away with it, but you didn't. See, the enemy uses that as a trap. It's a trap. And it will take you to a place that you don't want to go. You may not see it immediately, but it's going to happen. Think about this for a moment. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but I think about this kind of stuff all the time. But when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, okay, when she took a bite of it, and then she gave it to her husband, as the Bible says, and he ate of it, they died immediately, but they didn't die immediately. Do you know what I'm saying? Think about that for a second. You ever think about that? Like, they actually died, but I don't think they realized they died. But we do know this. We do know that immediately they felt shame at their nakedness. They'd never saw that before. They never knew that before. But immediately they felt shame at their nakedness. So we see the evidence that they died. And I think there are times that we do stuff. We listen to the voice of the enemy. We do stuff, and we don't realize we died. We don't realize what it's done to us. We don't realize where it's taken us to. And so because we don't immediately see it, in that sense, we keep going down that road. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody been there? The enemy took you to a place, and before you knew it, man, you're there. And you just, come on, y'all. Everybody's been there. And you woke up one day and went, how did I get here? And usually what wakes us up is when it's total chaos swirling around us, right? Our life is a mess and we're like, how did we get here? I serve the Lord. How did I get here? So I want you to see this today because we were created to be alive. But we died because we did not believe God and chose to believe the liar. Okay? So point number two, we were dead. We were dead. How many of you know you were dead? Amen? I was dead. Dead. Romans 5:12 says we were dead. Romans 5:12 says when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to, say it, everyone, for everyone. There you go. So we were dead. There it is. Colossians 1:21 says it this way. This includes you, just in case you were wondering. Anybody? Somebody's out there going, that wasn't me, though. That wasn't me. Oh, yeah? This includes you, who were once far away from God. You were his enemy, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. That was me. Anybody else? Okay, Colossians 2:13. Just in case you're still wondering, you were dead because your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. So make no mistake about it, you were dead. Now, every single person, I got good news for you, every single person in this place, I believe, okay, and if you didn't make that decision, you'll still have a chance today, but every person in this place is now alive. You're not dead anymore. Right? But you once were dead. Okay? It's because of our separation from God. And because of our separation from God, we were given the law. That's why the law was given to us. In fact, Romans 5:20 says God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. All right? And the law meant this, and this is a very simplified definition, but the law meant that we would have to earn our righteousness through a list of things to do or things we could not do. Did you hear that? That's what the law meant. We would earn our righteousness, our right standing with God, through a list of things that we would do or not do. But we were created to... Wow, thank you three people that listened at the beginning of this message. This is an interactive sermon here, okay? So we were created to...
Be.
Hey! You're awake. We were created to be. We weren't created to do. We were created to be. We are be-dos, not...
Doobies.
Why do you laugh every time you say that? You must live in Michigan. We were created to be. And so we were given the law, which was a list of things to do and not do, and so nobody could fulfill it. Nobody could do it. Except one. Except one. His name is Jesus. And he came, and he completed it. Amen? Because we couldn't do it. Because we were never created to do, but to be. I wasn't created to do something to earn his favor. I was created to be his son.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that good news?
Yes.
You don't have to work for it.
Right.
You don't have to work for it. You don't have to strive for it.
Right.
You are his son or his daughter.
Yes.
Amen? Amen. And let me just make it clear. Man, I probably shouldn't go here, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's our first week back on live stream. Why not? Because step right off into it. Let me just say this. There are only sons and daughters. And whatever you were created is what you are. I'm just going to say it. There's no in between. God didn't make a mistake. You were what he created you to be. I feel better about that. Romans 5:15 and 16 says, but there was a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of the one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins.
Yes.
So Jesus came and fulfilled the requirements of the law on our behalf. And so point number three, and this is my final point, is we died again. and now we're alive again.
Amen.
Amen? We were alive, then we died, then we died again, and now we're alive again. Or let me say it this way. Hold on. I think I can make it more complicated. We were created to be alive. We believed a lie, and we died. We believed the truth, and we died to death. And now we're alive to God through Christ Jesus. Yeah. That'll be on the test at the end of the message today. So you're alive. You're alive. Look at somebody next to you. Come on. Square in the eyes and shout real loud, I'm alive.
I'm alive.
I'm alive. Victoria, I'm alive. You're alive too. I'm alive. It feels good to be alive. Amen? We are supposed to be walking alive. Not walking dead, walking alive in Christ, in Him. And when we do, the world takes notice. Not at us, not because we're something, you know, whatever, but they see Jesus. They see Him alive in us. Now, we are something special. We are. You understand that, right? I mean, I am all that in a bag of chips. Hey. Whoa. I'll tell you what size bag. He said what size bag for those watching, in case you didn't hear that. I'll tell you what size bag. The same size I get from the grocery store. Family size. I don't know why it says family size on that bag. I eat it all by myself. You know what I'm saying? Oh, it was meant to share? Oh, okay. That was pretty good. I like my own jokes. All right. So listen. So no more comments from you, by the way. Okay. So listen. So you're alive because you believe the truth. Amen? So watch. You stay alive by continuing to believe the truth. You get it? You're alive because you believe the truth. Now you stay alive. This is a very simple, easy message for especially those of you who just gave your heart to the Lord. You stay alive by continuing to believe the truth. You believe the truth and you walk down here and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I confess that God raised Him from the dead on the third day. You came alive. Now you stay alive by continuing to believe the truth, and that's the Word of God. You have to read the Word and get the Word in you, and it becomes a part of you. Amen? You accepted Jesus, and He came in, but you have to read the Word. He is the Word, and you have to consume it day and night. Read the Bible. Consume the Word of God day and night, night and day. Get it inside of you, and then you stay alive.
Amen.
And what that's going to do, and I'm going to show you here in a second, but that's going to keep you away from those lies. It's going to keep you away from that tree. Okay? And if you don't do that, you're going to get deceived easily. Okay? The enemy's going to whisper to you, say, hey, come on over here. Come here. Hey, come here. Come see this. And you step on over there like, I'm just going to look. I'm just going to window shop. Come on, ladies. Does that ever work? I'm just going to window shop. You know? And you get over there, and the enemy starts, listen, you don't want to toy with him. You don't want to spar with him. You don't want to mess with him in that way. If you don't know the Word, okay, and if you're not going over to him to take authority over him and to make him take his hands off of something that doesn't belong to him, then stay away. Okay? And so, John chapter 3, verse 12 through 18, watch this. This is talking about believing. It's talking about believe the truth. You came alive because you believe the truth. Watch. Verse 12, John 3:12. If I have told you earthly things, this is Jesus speaking, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Do you see this? Where's my Bible? Oh, here it is. Hold on. So, Jesus is saying, if I told you earthly things, okay, and you didn't believe, then how can you believe heavenly things if I tell those to you, right? So what I'm saying to you is, because you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're following him, then you want to now read this, believe this every day. Every day. Because now that you've believed him, and now that you're living for him, he's going to show you the way through his word. Okay? And it's going to keep you from falling into those traps. All right? Watch. So, verse 13, no one has ascended into heaven except the one who's ascended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believe in him might have eternal life. He's talking about being lifted up on the cross. So, okay, verse 16, we all know this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Are there enough believes in there? Seven of them, I believe. I believe. So this is what is important about this. I want you to see in this small, short passage of Scripture the heart of the Father God. He's crying out to us, please believe me. Please believe me. The same thing he asked Adam and Eve in the garden. Just believe me. Will you just believe me? Please. I created you to be my son, my daughter. Will you believe me? Okay? And they didn't. They believed the enemy over God, and death came. So God said, I got another plan. I'm going to send my son, and he's going to do something that you could not do. And he's going to give his life for you. And now he's saying, will you please believe him? Amen? Please believe the word. I mean, this is how much he wants us to believe, is that he sent his only son, God. Jesus was there in the beginning. The Bible says that all things were created through him, and without him nothing was created. The Bible says that Jesus holds all things together, all of creation together. And so Jesus came to this earth and took the form of this human being and suffered and died for us so that we would believe, so that we would come alive again. Remember earlier in the message I said, Genesis 1:26, I said, remember that? Then God said, let us make human beings in our image. In other words, what God imagined we became. Okay? So to be like us, he said, let us make human beings in our own image to be like us. Proverbs 23:7 says this. It says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And the word man is human being. Okay? So as a human being thinks in his heart, so is he. All right, so is she. Our imagination is a very powerful thing. Absolutely. I've told you this before. It's very powerful. Okay? And you may not remember that, but how many of you remember when you were a kid? Okay? And your imagination, how many of you had a good imagination when you were a kid? Like really healthy, right? Anybody remember? Does anybody remember? And it's sad that we lose this, and I think we lose it because of what the enemy does, but that's a whole other sermon, so I'm not going to go preach that right now. But it's sad that we lose it, but when we were kids, man, we could imagine anything. I remember, you know, when I think back, especially now that I have grandsons and I watch them, or if you have young children and you watch them and listen to them, you ever just listen to young children playing? I'm not talking about playing video games. The sad part is, man, too many stay inside and play video games and all that all the time. Get them outside and just get them a stick. Right? Like, no video games, no fancy toy from the store. This is what you get to play with today. Have fun. And it may take them a while, because they may be totally, you know, with video games and all that. But here's the thing. You ever listen to kids? And they're playing, especially young little kids. And man, they're all these things, right? I'm this captain of this space army. And I'm going to this other planet, you know, and I'm going to find this evil planet that's trying to destroy the universe. Come on, follow me. I got my lightsaber. Right? Whatever. I don't know. It's been a while for me. All right? It's been a while. But if you listen to kids, man, they'll just go on. Our youngest grandson, Asher, man, his imagination. Like, I don't know, with your kids or grandkids, if you watch them, some of them, like, everybody's different, right? All kids are different personalities. And some of them, are, you know, like, they play by themselves really well. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And there's other kids that don't play by themselves really well. Like, they need other people around. But Asher, man, he can be off in his own little world. 4 years old, he's running around, and the stuff he's imagining is crazy, awesome stuff, right? But it's powerful. And I remember when I was a kid, and I remember believing that. Like, I was there. I was on that other planet, right? I saw those Martians. That's what we called them back then. You know? And so our imagination is a powerful thing. And there's a story or an account of a story in the Bible, all right? And you can go to Genesis chapter 28 if you want to read the whole thing, but we're not going to look at that today, but you can go look at that this afternoon. Read the whole story of Jacob and Laban, his father-in-law. Okay, it's actually his uncle. Okay, I was talking to Kim about this the other day. You know, it's actually his uncle Laban, yes, and became his father-in-law. Yes, he married his cousins. Yes, that happened a lot in the Bible, by the way. So, but Jacob left his father's house. In fact, his father told him to, and he went to his uncle Laban's land far away. And when he got there, he saw his cousin Rachel and fell in love with her. Anyway, as the story goes, Jacob worked for Laban for 7 years so that he could marry Rachel. And Laban tricked him and gave him Leah instead, his older daughter. And then Jacob worked another 7 years so he could marry Rachel. Okay, so... But the third 7 years, Jacob said, I want some to take care of my family and everything. So he said, I'll work for you if you'll give me some of the flock. And Laban agreed to it. So what did Jacob do? The Lord gave him a dream and told him to do something. And so Jacob did what the Lord told him to do. The Lord told him to take some sticks, okay, like these. And he said to cut notches and stripes in the sticks. You see that? Okay? Just like that. So he took some of the bark off of them, stripped them down. Some of them had bark, some of them, you know, places didn't. And make some stripes and spots in the sticks, and then take those sticks and lay them down by the watering hole where the flocks would go to water, where the herds would go to water. Okay? And the Bible says that they would go down there to the watering hole, and they would, as they were down at the watering hole, they would look at these sticks all in the water, these speckled and spotted sticks all in the water. And down at the watering holes where other things took place, and because there's children in here, I'm just going to say it that way. It's how we got here, by the way. So, anyway, and as they were down at the watering hole, and intimacy was happening at the watering hole, as they were looking at the sticks, this is important. And that's why I'm saying it. Intimacy was happening as they were looking at these sticks. Then the offspring were spotted, speckled, or black sheep. And what did Laban agree to give Jacob? All the spotted, speckled goats or black sheep. So they were reproducing a high level or high amount of spotted, speckled, and black, animals. And so Jacob's, that was his flock. Every time one was born, he would get it. So his wealth grew. He started having these huge herds and flocks because of this, okay? And so his wealth really grew. Now, here's what I'm saying to you is this. The watering hole was a place of reflection, a place of meditation, a place of gazing. And whatever they gazed upon, they became. Whatever they reflected upon, whatever they meditated upon, they became. Now, you're going to see something very powerful in just a minute, but I got to give you a couple scriptures getting up to that, okay? Psalm 119:15 says this. It says, I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. Yes. Psalm 119:15 in the English Standard Version says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways, okay? So that scripture is talking about, I'm going to meditate on your ways. I'm going to meditate on your word, O Lord. I'm going to fix my eyes on this and keep them on this. And whatever you tell me in here, whatever you say to me through this, that's what I'm going to meditate on. That's what I'm going to fix my eyes on. That's what I'm going to reflect on. Day and night, night and day, I will keep my eyes on your word. And although trials may come my way and troubles may come my way and difficulties may come my way and I may go through a tough time in my life through different times and different areas of my life, my eyes are going to be fixed here. And because my eyes are fixed here, I know the truth and the truth will lead me through. Amen. I won't get deceived. I won't get diverted. The enemy can't cozy up to me. See, here's the problem. A lot of us don't get deceived so easily because we don't know the voice of the shepherd. We're so busy listening to all these other voices out there. And they may have good intentions, and they may be good friends and good people. I don't know. But why don't you listen to the voice of the Father and meditate on his ways and on his word, and then it doesn't matter who they are in your life. You'll know immediately whether it lines up with God's word or not. Amen? So quit meditating on the things you don't want to be. Quit meditating on those. Quit believing the lies of the enemy. You died to that way of thinking. And you're alive to the truth of God's word. The religious spirit will lie to us just like Satan did to Eve in the garden. That spirit will try to convince us that we have to work for something that we already have and are. That spirit will try to get us to focus on something that we've already won the victory over. That's why I said to you young people that came up here this morning and gave your heart to the Lord, that spirit, the enemy, will try to convince you that you got to work for this now. You don't have to work for it. You already are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Okay? It's what you were created to be. Now just learn how to be that. And as you learn how to be that, God will eventually show you what to do. Okay? So Romans 6:16 says this, don't you realize that you become a slave to whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. It's your choice. What are you going to reflect on? You always reflect the things you're most aware of. You always do. Okay? Whatever you're paying attention to, whatever you're focused on, you're going to reflect that. If you're constantly focused on the wrong and how you've been wronged and how it hurts and how it's horrible and how it's not justice and how it's blah, 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 then that's what you're going to become. But if you're focused on the truth of God's word, that he who began a good work in me is faithful to complete it, if you focus on his word that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, if you focus on his word that you are more than an overcomer through Christ Jesus your Lord, you will be what God created you to be if you stay focused on his word. So you got to go to the watering hole every day and you got to look upon his word. You got to get it in your heart. You got to refute the lies of the enemy. This is why it's so important to watch who you're spending time with. Ooh. I'm about to say it. Can I say it?
Yes.
Who are you allowing to have influence in your life? I know I've been on this kick for a little while, but I'm going to stay on it, okay? Quit believing them just because they say they're a follower of Jesus. Stop it. Watch them. Listen. Get this word in your heart and see if it matches up with what they're saying and doing. I guarantee you, if all of us do that, we're going to start going, I can't be around them. And don't be that person that says, I'm going to change them. No, stop it. Stop it. If they were going to change, they would already change being around you, but they're not going to right now, okay? Maybe God needs to send someone else or something else their way to get a hold of their hearts, right? Who are you spending time with? Who are you listening to? Remember the sheep and the goats down at the watering hole. What was happening is they were reproducing down at the watering hole. Okay? Listen. They were being intimate down at the watering hole.
Yes.
And whatever, as they were intimate, what they were looking at was what was happening, what they were giving birth to. You're going to give birth to some things in your life that you don't want to give birth to if you don't stop that relationship. Stop listening to those people. Stop hanging out around that group. Stop allowing that influence in your life. Stop watching those things on that computer or on that television or on that phone. Stop allowing that mess in through your eyes and through your ears. You're meditating on that stuff. You're reflecting that stuff. Stop making excuses for the sin that's in your life that the Lord's been trying to talk to you about, but you don't hear his voice because everybody else says, oh, that's okay. That's all right. Everybody's doing it. It's okay. God's grace is enough for you. His grace is enough. It's all right. He forgives you. Just don't go too far. Just don't go too far. Just don't go too far. Ooh. You know what that makes me think of? It makes me think of Adam and Eve just right over there snuggled up to that tree. You know? I just won't eat it. I just want to look at it. Oh, it's so pretty. It looks delicious. But I'm not going to eat it. I'm not going to eat it. I'm just looking at it. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm just going to keep going because we're going to be patient, right? Okay. No. I'm not going to get drunk. I'm just going to drink a little bit. I'm not going to get drunk. No, I'm not drunk. And look, I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm not trying to make light of it, but it's a dangerous trap. I was an alcoholic. Anybody else? Anybody else? Once we're dead in that sin, come on, lift your hands up. If you were once in addiction and drugs and alcohol, you were once dead in that sin. Look at the hands around this building. You were once in that trap of the enemy. And I can tell you from experience, I didn't get in that trap from staying in the Word of God and close to the Lord. I got in that trap because I went right over here to this tree and I started looking at it and playing with it and circling it. And I feel Holy Spirit right now because he's going to set some people free if you'll listen to the Word of God. Quit playing around the tree of death. Get as far away from it as possible. You were once dead, but now you are alive in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Live alive. Stay in his word. Stay away from the enemy.